Hello, everybody, and welcome to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose, the official fantasy football show of the National Football League. James Coe here alongside NFL.com senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. A great show in front of us today. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk Thursday night football in just a moment. And, Mike, you reveal more of your starts and sits of the week as well.
Yeah, and I have a couple of players in there that you think are must-starts, but maybe not.
Okay, I
like
it.
Maybe not. That's called a tease, my friend.
We'll call that a tease in our business. All right, one of your top headlines for the day. News out of Tampa this week. Running back Doug Martin was a full participant in practice this week. Nothing definitive, but it does appear as if he will play in week four. Fabs, week one, 9 carries, 9 rushes. How confident are you playing him this week?
Well, confident? I don't know about that, but you do have 6 teams off this week.
True.
And it's a good matchup. The Steelers have not been good against the run, and they're down a couple of linebackers as well. So if he plays for the Buccaneers, he's probably got to play for you, even if it's just a flex start.
Do you think he's in a timeshare with Bobby Rainey?
No, I think he'll be the guy. As long as he's healthy, I think Martin's going to be the guy in that backfield.
Interesting. All right, so we're going to have much more headlines in just a bit as well. But first, it's Thursday, so we got to talk Thursday night football. A big game for the NFC East. Giants on the road taking on Washington.
Oh, thank you kindly, my friend. Yes, tonight, Rashawn Jennings looks to continue his hot streak on Thursday night in the nation's capital, while Kirk Cousins and the Redskins look to jump on that Giants shaky defense. Molly Karam teamed up with Adam Rank and Elliot Harrison. So two NFC East opponents facing off outside of D.C. tonight. Adam, Kirk Cousins was one of fantasy's hottest pickups this week.
Of course.
Which quarterbacks would you start over him in week four?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't want to give him the keys to the starters club just yet. But when you look at some of the names like Tony Romo, I would start Cousins over him. I'd start him over Cam Newton and even Tom Brady. It's tough as it is to admit at this point in my life that, yes, I would be starting Kirk Cousins over Tom Brady. And really, the big reason why is because Cousins looks like the perfect fit for Jay Gruden's offense. We've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks, that this is a guy who just seems, his accuracy just lends himself to this offense, similarly to the way Andy Dalton did when he was there in Cincinnati. So, again, a great pickup, but not somebody, I'm not starting him over Phillip Rivers, I'm not starting him over Nick Foles or anything like that. But some of those other big names, yeah, I feel pretty confident with him tonight.
And as you mentioned, not only is he accurate, he's decisive. And that's got to help Pierre Garçon's productivity, right, Elliot?
For sure. And when Adam says at this point in his life, I'm like, wow, this has really got heavy. Well, I guess at the juncture that I'm at, in my personal stage, Pierre Garçon is who I'm going to go with. 181 targets is tied for the most among all wide receivers since the start of 2013. That's what we call volume play. So really, you should be starting this guy with everybody. Now, looking at my own bench, I'm not really wanting to play Victor Cruz over a guy like Pierre Garçon. Even Keenan Allen makes me wonder.
Alfred Morris is just tremendous at home, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Do you remember the time of our lives when he was a goal line back? It was 2 weeks ago, but it was one of the special moments. And you talk about a young man's transition into adulthood. This was it. But, of course, Freddie Morris,
his bar mitzvah.
Great. He's great in between the tackles. And as you said, he's great at home, 11 touchdowns in his last 11 home games. So hopefully he punches one in here against the Giants tonight. But again, he's one of those guys you start week in and week out. He's a fantastic play. I have no problems with him.
You guys make me smile. You're so silly. All right, your projections here for the Washington Redskins. Tell me, gentlemen, where are we agreeing, and disagreeing? Let's try that again. And pretty much looking pretty similar, except for Alfred Morris there. Big discrepancy.
I just have him getting a touchdown. That's all.
That's the big thing to me, is that I just don't have him projected as a touchdown. I hope, you know, for all the fantasy enthusiasts, and I have him in a league too. I'm just not, you know, it's the Redskins. I'm just not confident about it.
I get it. You're not getting a ride in his sweet car.
No. I've never been in Bentley, but it's someday.
Someday. All right. For the Giants, Rashawn Jennings has been by far the team's most consistent fantasy contributor. Does that trend continue tonight, Elliot? Another career day for him? What do we think?
Yeah, you know, I think if there's one Giant that you need to play, a visiting team on Thursday night, this is it. You know, as a man gets older, Adam, sometimes his workload and responsibility increases. And I think that's what's happened here, Rashawn Jennings. He got a little bit older, and now he's getting 22.7 carries per game. You remember when you were that age? He's got 22.7 carries.
He's a young 29, though. That's the great thing about
him. I'm here to keep you both young.
He really is. But seriously, 23 carries a game. Who gets 23 carries a game anymore? And once again, just like Garçon, a volume play. This is your best option, Adam, for a Giants player on Thursday night.
Very true, because
I don't want to jinx things.
You know?
I'm
okay.
Sorry to cut you off, but we need to get into Victor Cruz here.
All right.
But the Giants have found a passing game.
Man. maybe.
A little rhythm?
Again, the only problem is if they have found a passing game, I still wouldn't play any of the Giants passing participants in this game because if you look at Eli Manning, when you look at his history against the Redskins, it's not very good. He's thrown for more than one touchdown pass in a game against the Redskins once in his entire career, so I can't really trust that Cruz is going to do it.
So guess who leads the team in receptions and targets? One, Larry Donnell.
Yeah, Larry Donnell. It's funny how guys become, like, well-known because of fantasy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, 15 years ago, nobody would know who Larry Donnell is. And now we're talking about him every week.
He was
in high school.
It's like this dude is Antonio Gates and Ozzie Newsome and Mike Ditka all put together. I don't have huge projections for him. I think visiting teams on Thursday night, Adam, the data is there. Fantasy points are generally suppressed. It's got to be suppressed somewhere. If it's not going to be Rashad Jennings, then where's it going to be? I think the tight end position.
Yeah. This is like story time with Adam, Elliot, and Molly at the public library. All right. Here is the Thursday night football projections for the New York football Giants. Guys, what am I seeing here? We're pretty similar here.
Yeah, no touchdown receptions for Cruz or Donnell, and then Jennings the one doing the lion's share of the moving the ball between the 20s, possibly getting into the end zone.
And as I say every week, I enjoy when you guys agree because then it makes my life easier making these decisions. All right, if we want to go Adam Rank danger zone status here, people, who's a sleeper you can think about plugging into this matchup?
Niles Paul. If you have some troubles with the tight end position, which a lot of us do, Niles Paul is a pretty good option. Dwayne Allen's number one, but Niles Paul would be my number two.
I like the Redskins' defense. We talk about the Giants having suppressed fantasy points on a Thursday night. I think the Redskins' defense is somebody you can go on the waiver wire right now, plug and play, especially if you're one of the teams like the Bengals, Broncos, Browns, Rams, Cardinals on a bye.
And if you're going to be one of those people who just shuffles in the defenses each and every week, defaulting to the Thursday night home team is always going to be a great option.
Yes.
Yeah, no question there. And you guys know I'm looking forward to this one. Before we go, anything else you're really excited about here?
Just our development as older gentlemen.
Oh my gosh.
Doing a memoir of this show.
Okay, enough. Let's move on. All right, tonight, Eli Manning in the Giants take on new starter Kirk Cousins, Alfred Morris, and the Redskins. Football starts here, Giants-Redskins. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, live on NFL Network. And be sure to tune in to us, Fantasy Live, again tonight, 2 a.m. Eastern, for all the fallout from TNF. James, it's all you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. Let's turn our attention to the latest headlines once again as we look ahead to the weekend. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Lovie Smith said that there's a good chance that quarterback Mike Glennon will start week 4. Josh McCown is going to be recovering from a thumb injury. The Bucs are taking on the Steelers, who are missing several key defensive players as well. Fabs, what do we expect with the Bucs offense with Mike Glennon at the helm?
Well, I think they're going to run the ball a lot with Doug Martin, assuming he plays. Maybe this is a good thing for Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, although I wouldn't start either one of these guys this week because Josh McCown was not good. Again, a product of Mark Trestman's system last year, a journeyman quarterback for most of his career. So maybe this is a good thing for that Buccaneers pass attack. We'll see.
Not playing Vincent Jackson, that's a tough pill to swallow, man.
On the road, he has not been good. And honestly, he hasn't been good anywhere so far this season.
Right. Absolutely a big-time disappointment. All right, let's head to Miami, where the magic between Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin and quarterback Ryan Tannehill seems to be dwindling.
A little bit.
Tannehill says he expects to start. Fabs, whether it's Tannehill or even Matt Moore, does it matter when it comes to Mike Wallace or Lamar Miller?
I don't think so. I'd still rather see Tannehill in there. He's got a bigger arm, and I think there's more upside with him. Wallace, you're still going to start as a number two or three. Lamar Miller, same thing, RB2, flex starter. It's a really good matchup for Miller against the Raiders. They have not been good against the run this season.
Overall, I've been pretty impressed with Bill Lazor's offense. Have you?
Well, so far, so good in terms of scoring fantasy points.
Yes. Right?
Mike Wallace has been good. Lamar Miller's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the quarterback position, which I thought would be much better, Tannehill we're speaking about, he has not really played up to par from a fantasy perspective. He's not scoring points.
And oh, by the way, before he got hurt, Sean Moreno was also performing admirably as well.
Yeah.
In Houston, Texas head coach Bill O'Brien said this week running back Arian Foster will likely be a dreaded game time decision. And as always, we'll have the latest on his status Sunday morning on NFL Fantasy Live. Be sure to watch us there. In the meantime, how should his owners handle this situation? Alfred Blue, a very popular name.
Exactly. Don't turn my brown eyes blue. You've got to pick him up if you have Arian Foster. Here's the good thing. The Texans play early on Sunday. So if Arian is a late and active in that afternoon game, well, you can plug in Alfred Blue or you can plug in another running back that you may have on your roster because there are going to be plenty of those guys. It's not a late game, so you're not so hamstrung by that late game.
Hamstrung.
Yes.
Right. Arian Foster, There you go.
I tried to throw it in there and see if you wouldn't catch it, but you did.
He's pretty good. Listen, let's say he is a play. We're talking about Arian Foster. Are you still comfortable playing him?
Got to play him. He is one of the few featured backs around the National Football League, and if the Texans are confident enough for him to play with his hamstring injury, I think you got to play him as well. He's going to see a lot of touches in the contest.
It's a bye week feeling. I tell you what, if there weren't so many teams on the bye, I'm scared to play him, but you're right. If he's in, you got to play him.
Six teams off, you got to play him.
Absolutely. All right, one more thing to keep in mind. Week four marks the start of bye weeks across the league, and in that vein, a whopping six teams are not in action
this week. It's a tough week, James.
Cardinals, Bengals, Browns, Broncos, Seahawks, Rams. Look, there's a lot of guys. Gio Bernard not playing.
Even all the Broncos.
Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Julian not playing.
Russell Wilson.
Marshawn Lynch not playing. Zach Stacy out of there as well. And, of course, for some good bye week fill-ins, we're going to take a look at the waiver wire later on in the show. You don't want to miss that. Plus, some of the game's best have some of the worst matchups this Sunday. Do you play them versus tough defenses, or is the risk too great? We're helping you sort through that in week four. But first, who's the better running back for week four? Struggling starter Frank Gore or waiver wire pickup Donald Brown? It's an interesting question. We're going to debate it when NFL Fantasy Live continues.
Tomorrow, Sean Taylor was a promising young star who played with reckless abandon, but an unspeakable tragedy took him before his time. Sean Taylor, A Football Life, tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network. Time now for coaching decisions presented by Lenovo. Hello again. And a little over 3 weeks into the season, you've got some fantasy coaching decisions to make. Do you start an early season pickup or one of the struggling stars you spent a draft pick on? Fabs, we start with you in the backfield. Are you going with your guy Donald Brown, who you've hyped all week, or the old faithful Frank Gore?
I do like Gore this week, but I like Donald Brown more. This is a great matchup against the Jaguars. They've given up more fantasy points to running backs than any team in the National Football League. So you would figure more people would go out and pick up Donald Brown, but he's still available in about 70% of NFL.com leagues. Guys, pick him up now. We have six teams on a bye. This running back has a better matchup than anyone else at this position. I'm starting him in several leagues this week. Get him active against the Jags.
Yeah, and forget the matchup. Also, Woodhead and Matthews both banged up.
Right.
So huge opportunity for him to get the bulk of the carries. Let's move on to the wide receiver position. Elliot, who would you start? Kelvin Benjamin or T.Y. Hilton?
Well, I love me some T.Y. I think he's still going to end up having a great fantasy year, even if he's off to a slow start. But I like Kelvin Benjamin in this game. Kelvin Benjamin, he's a great target because even when he's covered, he's open. He's a size mismatch for defensive backs. They have no problem going to him. And I was just talking to Adam off camera. Man, what if this team had kept Steve Smith and had Benjamin and Greg Olsen at tight end? I think the Ravens have some struggles back there. They've given up almost 600 yards to wide receivers, and they played the Browns. They played the Steelers, who, have Antonio Brown, but those teams aren't loaded at wide receiver. Ravens have had some troubles in the secondary.
Yeah, but Kelvin Benjamin, clearly Cam's go-to guy there. Let's move on to the tight end position. Are we going with Dwayne Allen? Would you start Dwayne Allen or Jason Witten?
I'm going with Dwayne Allen, and the whole thing that I'm going to base this on is production. Dwayne Allen has been one of the most productive tight ends this season. As you see, he's had a receiving touchdown in three of his last four games played. And he is the guy that Andy Luck is looking for when they get near the red zone. So, and you compare him to Jason Witten, who just hasn't put up the production. He's only being started in name value. If you just looked at the numbers, you wouldn't hesitate to put Dwayne Allen into your lineup. And he's available in a lot of fantasy leagues. And you look at all the guys who are injured or struggling this season, and to think that Dwayne is still out there, it's mind-boggling. Here are some of the other guys, our top 10 tight ends heading into this week. Of course, there I have Dwayne Allen a little bit higher on my list. Martellus Bennett is another great start. Zach Ertz. Greg Olsen is another guy who stands up to me. To your point, Elliot, I really believe the Ravens are going to do whatever they can to shut down Kelvin Benjamin. They're going to stick up for Triple S. So Greg Olsen.
Or us.
Allison, both of them. They'll have great games.
All right, great plays there at the tight end position with all the buys this week. Let's move on to the wide receivers. Elliot, who's kind of standing out to you entering week four here?
Well, I can't lie to you, Molly.
Dramatic pause. I'm ready for this.
You sure you're ready for it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I see these guys, and I think it's Dez. I mean, Calvin Johnson against the Jets is a great matchup. The Jets' secondary is obviously awful, but we could pick Megatron every week. I like Dez Bryant. I like Julio Jones on the road, even with Matt Ryan's poor road numbers, and I always like Alshon Jeffrey. Packers can be had on the back end.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you with Dez, though. That New Orleans secondary hasn't been great here in fantasy. And let's move on to the running backs, Fabs. Who are you liking?
Alfred Morris, he's way up there.
Home.
Eddie Lacy, we have him ranked very highly despite the fact that he's done nothing this year. That's because of the matchup against the Chicago Bears. And Arian Foster, it's likely going to be a game time decision. So if you have Arian Foster, make sure you also pick up Alfred Blue and be insured at that position.
Let's not forget Matt Forte owned Green Bay the last couple of years. And we move on to the quarterbacks here. We have Drew Brees at Dallas. That's got to be a nice play, guys.
Yes.
Especially that matchup, that defense struggling. And Andy Luck, as I'm just going to follow suit with you here, against Tennessee.
We're buddies from our Stanford days.
All right, good stuff, guys. For all our expert rankings at every position, check out NFL.com/fantasy rankings. So that was Coaching Decisions presented by Lenovo. Thank you, gentlemen. And remember, if you make the best coaching decisions all year long in your NFL.com fantasy league, you could be our fantasy coach of the year, and you can win the ultimate fantasy football coaching experience. Just check out NFL.com/FCOY to learn more. Coming up, just because they have this week off doesn't mean they can't help you later in the year. We've got four players you can store on your bench for later in the season. Plus, we get more questions about the quarterback and tight end positions than we know what to do with. But ask and you shall receive, people. We're helping you fix two troublesome roster spots. That's next on NFL Fantasy Live. Come on back, won't you?
Do you have a tough decision in fantasy football this week? When don't you? Check out NFL.com's Fantasy Genius tool. Ask the world who to start, bench, add, drop, and more. Get your questions answered or weigh in yourself and make your voice heard at NFL.com/genius. All right, back with you on NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. Guys, when we look through Fantasy Genius, we're on our Twitter account. We get a bunch of questions about quarterbacks, always quarterbacks, especially during these bye weeks. Oh, yeah. Complicating matters further is that two big-name NFC South QBs have really struggled away from home. Here, take a look at Matt Ryan's numbers. Last four home and road games. At home, a statistical monster. But look at those interceptions, those turnovers he has on the road. So fantasy points per game, 20 at home, 14 on the road. Not good.
Look at
Drew
that.
Drew Brees. I mean, this is a stark contrast. 25 points at home.
Brees didn't even average 16 fantasy points in his first two games on the road this year.
It's crazy. Yeah. And we're almost at the point now where you do have to ask a very difficult question considering the price that you've paid for these guys. Can you play Brees or Ryan, or how comfortable are you playing them on the road?
Well, Brees, I think, is a different situation than Matt Ryan. I know he hasn't been good on the road, but they're playing the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You can't bench a quarterback playing the Dallas Cowboys unless, you know, maybe it's Ryan Tannehill or someone like that. But Brees is a guy that you've got to roll with here. You've got to roll with him in what could be a high-scoring game.
Look, Atlanta's on the road versus Minnesota. Last year, the Vikings were the absolute worst defense in terms of quarterbacks. They gave up 22 points per game on average. The Saints on the road versus Dallas. Guess what? Last year, they were the second most forgiving defense to quarterbacks. So, again, when we talk about Matt Ryan, Elliot, how comfortable are you playing him this week versus Minnesota?
Totally, totally comfortable. I mean, I get what you're trying to say here,
yes.
but the Vikings defense played a Patriots team that got turnovers and ran the ball. So, yeah, Tom Brady didn't have a lot of passing yards because he didn't need to. Saints were in control of that game last week. They didn't need Drew Brees to throw for 500 yards. I think the Vikings secondary can be had by Matt Ryan and those receivers.
Plus, they don't have a running game in Atlanta. You know, they're not really going to do go to Steven Jackson all game. Of course he's going to throw the ball. Don't worry about it. You're thinking about it too much.
But they do have a three-headed rushing attack.
You're going to Springfield your mind out of this. Springfield 9, I should say.
All right, let's talk about Jay Cutler. He's the fourth high-scoring quarterback in fantasy right now. Pretty surprising. But can he keep it up? And we'll go to our Chicago guy.
Why is it so surprising that Jay Cutler is sitting there with Mark Trestman and putting up huge numbers when he's got Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey in here, Martellus Bennett catching touchdowns? Oh, yeah, by the way, Matt Forte is their running back. I don't get it. I mean, I understand people, they look at the smoke and Jay Cutler memes and make fun of him and think he's a jerk. But you know what? All the guy does is put up fantasy points, and this team's just going to continue to get better. They do have they've got a couple of tough games coming. Their schedule makers did them no favors in the coming weeks. But at the end of the season, guy's going to be blowing doors off Fantasy League titles.
Well, it's interesting because I think, Elliot, and maybe you can chime in here, but when you watch the real-life games, he struggles for long stretches of games, but fantasy-wise, he does okay. So I guess that's the question. Can he sustain this fantasy excellence?
Well, I agree that with Adam that people insult him like they insult him for his hair not ever sweating. I can't think of what analyst
because he never sweats. Yeah. He looks like he's in a shampoo commercial like every in the fourth quarter. Like, didn't he even play?
I wish I had that.
That problem. Aside, right. When you have big red zone targets like he does, he's got three trees running around out there. Think about it. Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Bennett are all size advantages for the offense. Also, I get it. Matt Forte's not having a great year. But you know what? Teams also load up to stop Matt Forte. As soon as they start playing in dime, guess who's going to start having great fantasy production? Matt Forte.
Phillip Rivers and his bolo are the seventh highest scoring fantasy quarterback in the game now. Ahead of Breeze, ahead of Aaron Rodgers, ahead of Matt Stafford. The Chargers at home versus Jacksonville. Here's a good question for you, Fabs. Mm-hmm. Would you feel comfortable playing Rivers over Breeze this week?
I actually would feel comfortable because I really like this matchup. I would start Rivers and sit the bolo tie. I'm not into that whole thing, but what a matchup this is against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a lot more fantasy points to quarterbacks than any other team in the National Football League. Rivers, three passing touchdowns in three of his last four home games. To me, this is a no-brainer. You start Phillip Rivers.
It's funny. Phillip Rivers tweeted me, told me he's not into your express suits. I know.
He's not? What about my Banana Republic suits?
I like those. Ben Roethlisberger I like, too.
Yes. Well, hey, listen, a great real-life quarterback, not so much in fantasy. It might surprise some people because he's a big-name guy. But he's currently your number 20 fantasy quarterback. Elliot, can he recover?
I think that he can because he's playing at a high level in reality. In other words, we're not talking about someone who's struggling in reality and we're trying to make him a fantasy quarterback. This is kind of a Troy Aikman conundrum. Troy Aikman was a great quarterback, terrible fantasy quarterback. How do you expect Ben Roethlisberger to put up big numbers in Carolina when the running game is running for two Bills?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do. That said, I think Tampa Bay is a good matchup. It's not a great matchup. I don't see Roethlisberger going off for 25 points. But will he get you that at least that viable 15 or over? I think that he will.
10 touchdown passes in his last four home games against the NFC, though. He could give you 20.
Interesting.
But again, if Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount are running crazy, that takes away his
Why
points.
Throw?
It will limit. All right, fantasy owners really need help at tight end this week as well. If your tight end is injured or on a bye, what can fantasy owners do to fix up that spot?
Well, there's a number of guys you can go to. If you look at the waiver wire, Dwayne Allen is one of the ones that jumps off the page. And you also got guys like Niles Paul and, you know, people like that if you play, you know. So Dwayne Allen, though, stands out to me. We always had that romanticized version of what was going to happen when Kobe Fleener and Andrew Luck, college teammates, were going to get together. But once he got to Indianapolis, it was all Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen's the better athlete. How about Dennis Pitta now lost for the season? Owen Daniel steps in. He's already had two touchdowns and seems to have an okay report. Oh, by the way, Greg Kubiak, the offensive coordinator there, his head coach in Texas. How much should fantasy owners rely on Owen Daniels, Fabs?
Honestly, I mean, I liked Owen Daniels like 3 years ago, but I know he's going to see more targets in this offense. But number one, this is a bad matchup. The Panthers have not allowed a receiving touchdown to tight ends all year long. They've allowed two or fewer receiving touchdowns in eight of their last nine road games. And so that just doesn't bode well for Owen Daniels. Are the targets going to be there? They could be. But I think you can find better options off the waiver wire. Like Rank said, Dwayne Allen is a better option, I believe, this week than Owen Daniels. He's worth picking up. I'm not playing him this week.
Don't sleep on Delaney either.
Delaney Walker
Delaney is a much better play also.
What if Chaz Whitehurst is the quarterback?
I know, no bueno.
Check down Charlie.
No bueno.
To the tight end.
Listen, still to come, we're getting you set for the weekend with Michael Fabiano Starts and Sits. You don't want to miss his list of guys he says you have to sit on Sunday. And if your roster needs a boost in the form of a fantasy free agent, we got you covered there as well. Our top spot starts and more when NFL Fantasy Live returns.
And here's a look at some notable players on a bye. The top 10 here, Marshawn Lynch, Giovanni Bernard, and some
I'm
other
sure
guys, Terrence West.
That I'm going to be playing teams that have Peyton Manning this week.
Yeah?
It's a good week to play those teams.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy that. So who can step up to replace those stars? Time to hit the waiver wire. Guys, at this point, there's a lot of targets are gone, but there's still some in the free agent pool. Fabs, who can you pick up and play this week?
Well, I'm surprised that Kyrie Robinson is still available in about half of NFL.com leagues, which is amazing to me. He's a starting running back in the National Football League during a week when you have six teams on a bye. He's playing against the Cowboys. I really like Pierre Thomas in this contest, but Robinson's also a really good play. He could be a low RB2, and he's definitely a flex starter against this Dallas defense.
Yeah, great matchup for him. And, Rank, you're going with the Steelers' number two guy there who also has a great matchup.
Yeah, I hate to be that guy who watched the Buccaneers get smoked on Thursday Night Football last week and be like, oh, I've got to start a Steelers receiver this week. And yet here I am starting Marcus Wheaton. But I do like the matchup, of course, because the Bucs have allowed so many fantasy points this season. But I really do like the upside of Wheaton, because when you're in these type of situations, that's what you're looking for. Who's got a good quarterback, who's got a good matchup, and who's got a lot of upside? Wheaton's got all three. And again, in weeks where you're really missing out on some of those big names, I'm comfortable sliding them in there.
Big Ben's playing well, too.
And Elliot, you like the Jets here against the Lions. You like the Lions defense, let's say. Let me get this straight with a banged up Eric Decker.
I like the Jets to give the ball away, yes. Yeah. Sometimes trying to pick a defense is like the Kobayashi Maru, you know, for me. Adam, I'm just saying, but the Lions, the Kobayashi Maru, you know, it's a real test trying to pick out the right fantasy defense to play, but I like Detroit on the road. I just think that Geno Smith has had the propensity to turn the ball over, and you have to play the percentages. I know, Fabs, you're big on playing the trends. Lions run defense great, right? So you're not going to be able to run Chris Ivory 25 times in the line, which means Geno's going to have to make plays.
Right. It's more about Geno being prone to turnovers.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Done.
And inconsistency. All right, let's get into some players who have week four buys that you should stash on your bench. You can grab these guys, hold on to them. And we start with Browns wide receiver Andrew Hawkins.
I don't know why people are dropping him in PPR leagues especially. This guy's on pace for 112 catches. Okay, that's not a mistake. 112 catches, guys. If he's been dropped in your PPR leagues, please pick him up and stash him and then use him. He's going to be solid all year long, at least until Josh Gordon comes back for the Cleveland Browns. He has had no fewer than 6 catches in any game this year. Go get him.
And you see there are 10-plus targets in each game this season. And, yeah, clearly a PPR monster. Let's move on to the rookie receiver there, Adam. Ranked John Brown, 3 TDs so far this year.
John Brown, the only receiver for the Birds there who has caught a touchdown pass this season. I like this kid. It goes all the way back to the summertime. We're talking about training camps, and the Cardinals were very bullish about him, and we talked about him extensively during those August shows about somebody to watch and somebody who, of course, he's going to be a little bit inconsistent because he is a rookie receiver, but has really drawn the attention of the quarterbacks, both Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton. So if you're looking for somebody, a little bit of a sleeper play later on down the road. Of course, the Cardinals are on a bye this week. They've got the Broncos in week 5, so he's not going to pay off immediately, but somebody who should be on your bench.
Crazy. He's been doing more than Larry Fitz. Elliot, we keep hearing that Jeremy Hill is going to be more involved in the Cincy offense.
Well, I think that he already is somewhat involved, but you know, I'm just looking at the percentages here. Fab's suggestion of Hawkins, only owned 22.4% of NFL.com leagues. Adam Rank's suggestion of John Brown, 4.7%. Jeremy Hill, not as low, 65% owned. I want to know who the 34% are that don't think this guy is worthy of a bench spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you want to plug him in when other teams are on the bye and the Bengals aren't. That's why I'm suggesting you pick up a guy right now on the bye week, stash him on your bench, and then when your other guys are on a bye, plug him in your flex. Why not?
Fabs, how about Brian Quick, the number one guy there in St. Louis?
How about Brian Quick? Right now, he's not even owned in 90% of NFL.com leagues, but he's on pace for over 70 catches and over 1,200 yards. I know he's a Rams wide receiver. Typically, they don't put up big numbers, at least not since the days of Torrey Holden, Isaac Bruce, but this is a guy who has been putting up good numbers this season, scored a touchdown against the Cowboys. Go out, grab him, and stash him away on your roster. He's been productive.
Yeah, he does lead the team in both receptions and receiving yards, so clearly the guy there, even if it is the Rams. All right, we'll be back with some tricky matchups for your starting lineup. Don't go away. This is NFL Fantasy Live.
With NFL Now, you can watch the news and highlights of your favorite teams and your favorite fantasy players on all of your connected devices. Watch for free today at NFL.com/now. An absolutely great app. You got to get it. All right, I'm James Coe alongside Elliot Harrison, Michael Fabiano, and the fantasy maverick himself, Adam Rank, here as well. This week, like every week, we got highly drafted players going up against very tough defenses, guys. But we're also at the point now where you don't necessarily have to play those guys in bad matchups. Fabs, we're going to start with you. Reggie Bush versus the Jets. Not a great matchup.
No, and Reggie was really good last week. We all thought it was going to be Joik Bell. The Joik was on us because Reggie Bush was the guy who scored the fantasy points. I tried to get that in there once in a while. I know it was bad. I'm not a comedian. So the matchup here against the Jets is, it can't be any worse. The Jets have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs this season. Zero touchdowns in four career games against the Jets. And Reggie Bush has also put up fewer than 80 scrimmage yards per game in those four games. So Reggie Bush is not a guy that I would start with confidence in standard leagues. If I'm in a PPR league,
yes,
you probably have to go with him. But in standard leagues, this is one to avoid.
Give me some projections for Reggie Bush, would you?
I will. Ask and you shall receive, my friend. I'm going with 6.1 fantasy points. Maybe he gets you three or four catches out of the backfield, which would add to that PPR value. But overall, I am not expecting Reggie Bush to put up a big stat line like he did last week.
I agree with you.
You know, I'd be surprised if he picked up a rushing touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if he picked up a receiving touchdown, though. All right, Elliot, Shady McCoy on the road versus the Niners. The Niners are the third stingiest defense to fantasy running backs.
See, you can't even get it out. You can't even get it out.
Hey, how confident are you playing LeSean McCoy?
Listen, I'm using the eyeball test
all
here,
right.
Okay? DeMarco Murray ripped the Niners defense in week one, but he fumbled, so that hurt his fantasy points. Week two, Jay Cutler, how many touchdown passes that
Four.
Game? Four. Right.
Four.
He wasn't looking for Matt Forte when they got inside the 20. They were throwing the football. Last week, Andre Ellington has not been playing healthy. So I'm watching the 49ers defense. This unit doesn't look anything like the group that we've been accustomed to the last 3 years. LeSean McCoy can not only do it running the ball, he can do it receiving. Who generally covers running backs out of the backfield? Linebackers, right? Linebackers. Where do the 49ers get their pass rush if they get any? Linebackers. Who's going to be covering LeSean McCoy? That's my question.
He's been decimated by injuries at the linebacker position. 49ers.
There you go, Navarro.
And there you go. How about some projections?
I'm going around 15. I've got 15.3. 90 rushing yards, 26 yards receiving. I think he's going to throw halfback option, guys.
I love it.
I do. I think he's going to.
Love it.
But I'm afraid that he's going to check down and go eight yards to Riley Cooper.
Are you sure? That's not great. I think, I have Darren Sproles projected for the halfback.
Did you really?
Yes.
Darn, I'm sorry, man.
Yards.
I did have a fumble.
Very, very precise
yes.
predictions from Elliot Harrison. All right, Adam Rank, Wallace. Mike Wallace is scoring well. He's taking on Oakland.
Is.
You're thinking, this is a great matchup.
Are you?
But how much hesitation do you have here?
Oakland's a little bit tougher against the fantasy receivers than you would think. A lot of it, of course, could be that these teams are playing shorter games against the Raiders and trying to bleed out the clock late because of the one-sidedness. And I look at this, Mike Wallace hasn't played too well on the road, especially not, you know, in these type of games. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of hesitation there. But I'm still going with them. This game's going to be a lot closer than people are giving them credit for. The Raiders are getting better week by week. So this game, and especially with everything that's been going on in Miami, the mind games that are going on, there's going to be a lot more passing than people are anticipating. So I feel you can be safe going with Mike Wallace. He's been pretty good. And Elliot, I think I might have one-upped you here. I'm going to go 98 receiving yards. He catches a two-point conversion.
That's
what's going to push him up. That's what's going to be the big game. So
good.
If you're in one of those leagues where you get bonus points for 100 yards, you're just going to fall a bit off.
I agree.
But you get the 2 points on the two-point conversion. Chuck Clay gets the touchdown. And then Mike Wallace gets a two. Because it's going to be a closer game.
I agree with you. You know why? Because Mike Wallace sure can't catch anything over 20 yards. So I think a two-point conversion is right in he and Tannehill's wheelhouse. Perfect projection.
Why would you do that? Listen, let's transition to a tight end. Martellus Bennett has been going off. 161 yards, four touchdowns. He's the second-best fantasy tight end in the game right now. He takes on Green Bay this week. Like Oakland Fabs off the cuff, it doesn't seem like a tough matchup, but the numbers tell us a little something different.
But it's still September, right? I know we're not in the summer. It's fall. We're still in September, right? It's not October.
We are, yes.
Okay, so in September, you start Martellus Bennett. 10 touchdowns in his last 11 September games. So, to me, it's a no-brainer, especially with six teams off, and the tight end position is a miserable mess right now for fantasy owners with all the injuries. And, of course, the projection includes a touchdown for Martellus Bennett.
There you go.
Because it's September, and October 1st, I'm trading him.
October 1st, you got a small fist bump out of, or fist pump rather, out of Adam Rank.
I'm starting him, so I just assume he's going to automatically get
there. You go. And it should be noted, Green Bay is the stingiest defense to fantasy tight ends.
They haven't played any good tight ends this year.
Very good point.
Nobody.
Packers. All right, ahead on NFL Fantasy Live. It's one of the most popular segments of all time in fantasy football. We're talking about Michael Fabiano, talking about his starts and sits for week four. Should you start or should you sit Darren Sproles? Fabs will tell us coming up.
Think you can top the legends of the game? Well, you need to try NFL.com's new record breaker fantasy game. All you do is pick a player each week to accumulate stats and try to beat an all-time record. For example, Peyton Manning's 55 passing touchdowns. Each week, you pick a quarterback and by season's end, see if you can beat 55. Check it out at NFL.com/record breaker. We're going to try and give you a leg up here, people, on the record breakers game here on NFL Fantasy Live. Elliot, Peyton Manning holds the record for single season passing yards with 5,477. Mm-hmm. That averages out to over 340 yards per game. Who has the best shot at beating that mark this week?
I like Drew Brees, guys. I really, really do. Yes, and I have to say that the music for the record breaker sounds like when Drago was working out in the montage with all the equipment.
It
got me pumped up. Drew Brees is going to be pumped up because he's done well against Dallas. You know, last time they played, he put up a monster game, 392 yards and 4 touchdowns. That Dallas defense is terrible. And, oh, by the way, I get that Manning's got the record, but the real record, Dan Marino in 1984 when all the rules weren't geared towards the passing game. Just saying.
You're not concerned about him on the road?
Nope. Okay. No, I know we talked about that earlier in the show. Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys have any home field advantage. Do you?
No.
In that park?
No, the other team has the home field advantage, it's looked like this season.
All right, let's move on now. We need more than 130 rushing yards to keep pace with Eric Dickerson's record. Who is your pick of the running backs, Adam?
I'm going to take Matt Forte because he's been a little bit down this year fantasy-wise. I imagine him in the beginning of Rocky III when Clubber Lang's like training to try to work himself up the ranks, and then finally he just comes out and has that huge fight against Rocky Balboa in their first match. So I see Forte doing it. Plus, he's got a pretty good history against the Packers. He's gotten to this defense before. I really like this matchup. So, of course, Matt Forte is my guy.
So you're talking about the part where they dub the Gorilla War roar in
with
slow motion?
Can we stay focused story time over here? But, yes, as we said earlier, he's owned that matchup against Green Bay. They do. Calvin Johnson holds the NFL single-season receiving yardage record. If you're trying to match that pace on record breaker game, who would you pick here, Elliot?
I would pick same matchup. Mm-hmm. I'm going Dez Bryant.
So the other side of the matchup.
Yeah, why not? Dez Bryant's career high game was actually against the Saints in 2012, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I think the Saints are going to have trouble with him. I'm predicting that Dallas is going to run the ball and come out to Jason Witten early. Get those safeties involved in coverage, and then when they get Dez isolated in the corners, mismatch all over the place. I think Dez puts up close to 2 bills. Give him at least 170, Adam.
Okay, I like Dez Bryant in this matchup.
Stat Girl just checked in. The Saints D allowed the most receiving yards to wide receivers this year. Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah, no surprise. The big surprise was that he didn't make another Rocky reference.
Yes. Don't worry.
I'm leaning on you here.
There's still time. In 2013, Peyton Manning averaged 3.4 passing touchdowns per game to set the record at 55. Adam, who might throw 3 or more over the weekend?
I like Nick Foles in this matchup. The Eagles' offense is just firing on all cylinders, and I really like everything that they're doing. So, Nick, it's a great matchup. The 49ers, as we said earlier in the show, you can get loose on this defense. It's not the 49ers that we remember from the last couple of years. Teams have been throwing on them. You mentioned Jay Cutler throwing 4 touchdowns on them on Sunday night a couple of weeks ago. And I really like Nick Foles. And I think if you make a movie of Nick Foles' life, I would have Kevin Connolly play him.
Oh, my goodness.
Incidentally, he was in Rocky V. He's one of the kids who beat up Rocky's kid.
And back to football. Drew Stanton was able to get it done against the defense. A lot of teams have had success there. Yes, with some rookie receivers there. All right, some bold predictions, gentlemen, and some movie references. Thanks for that pop culture from Elliot and Adam. Let's send it over to James and Fabs for the week's best starts and sits. Hello, guys.
Rocky III was covered. Rocky IV was covered. Rocky V. was covered.
I can't believe that Adam even watched Rocky V. It was so bad.
It's pretty good. All right, wrapping up here with Michael Fabiano with some starts and sits for week 4. All right, Fabs, we talked a lot about defenses today. We've got some defenses here on your starts and sits for this weekend. Who do you like? Who do you not like?
Well, the Bolts going up against Jacksonville, that's a no-brainer. And I also like the Indianapolis Colts, who are not on this list. But if Charlie Whitehurst is a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, then pick up the Colts and play them.
Even though the Colts have not been too good defensively this year?
It doesn't matter to me, because bad defenses doesn't mean bad in fantasy necessarily.
Very good point. All right, let's talk about tight ends. Here's a board of your starts and sits at the tight end position.
Right, Martellus Bennett, it's September. I'm starting him. That's just the way that things go. Antonio Gates with a great matchup against Jacksonville. I said to sit him last week. This week, I say to play him. Sit-ems, Heath Miller, Jason Witten, who has not done anything, no touchdowns in his career against the New Orleans Saints.
What is your prediction for Travis Kelce?
My prediction?
Hey,
nice.
We had to get another Rocky reference in there. Travis Kelce is going to be picked up and started in a lot of fantasy leagues this week. There's no question about it. And he's still out there, but I don't like the matchup on Monday night against the Patriots. They've given up the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends this year. They've only allowed an average of 168 receiving yards this year, too. So although Kelce's a nice option because it's just so thin out there at the tight end position, I don't like the matchup at all.
Take us through your wide receivers list here.
Michael Crabtree has been good the last two games, a touchdown in each. Jeremy Macklin's become a must-start. Julian Edelman, I love him on Monday night against Kansas City. I have Kevin Benjamin as a sit because I think the Ravens are really tough against the pass, especially at home. Eric Decker's forever on my sit-em list until he does anything. And Vincent Jackson, another guy that I'm trying to avoid, not good on the road in his career, at least lately.
Can we talk about the kid out of Cal, Keenan Allen?
Let's do it, and he's been awful. I mean, listen, make no bones about it. He has not been good.
Sophomore campaign.
I'm not going to pull any punches here, okay? Keenan Allen has got a great matchup, okay? The Jaguars, one of the worst defenses in the league, and he has three touchdowns in his last four home games. The Jaguars have given up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, which means it's going to be a big game for Phillip Rivers, and I think it's going to be a big game for Keenan Allen as well.
Very quickly, let's talk about your running backs here. I see stardom Frank Gore coming off of that terrible performance.
Three of his four games career against the Eagles, he's rushed for 100 yards. Matt Asiata's a great sleeper. I like Pierre Thomas against Dallas. Sit him. Reggie Bush against the Jets. You're pointing that finger at me. I don't know what's going on, but go ahead. What's going on? What's your point here?
Let's go. Name on this list, man. Darren Sproles. You're sitting him?
Well, you've got six teams off, so most people can't afford to sit him. If you're in a PPR league, it's a different story. But listen to these numbers, okay? No touchdowns in his last six road games against the NFC. Fewer than 70 scrimmage yards and no touchdowns in three career games against the 49ers.
Interesting.
And the 49ers have given up the third fewest fantasy points to running backs. And you know how many points Sproles had last week?
Less than five.
It was not good. He had 2 points last week.
Yikes.
And so he's not a guarantee to put up big numbers just because he had that huge game against the Colts. I think Sproles is a guy who's a risk this week.
He might even be dependent on touchdowns, if you could say that or not. All right, how about your quarterback list very quickly here?
Kaepernick hasn't been good at home, but, I mean, how can you ignore that matchup against the Eagles? Rivers, no-brainer. Big Ben has been awesome at home against NFC teams. Guys, I'm sitting. Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill. I know there's not a lot of big names on here. Cam Newton, you probably have to play, but in Baltimore,
he's a big name,
tough
a top
matchup.
Quarterback. No,
it's hard, though, because you've got so many teams off, and I can't go out and tell people to sit guys who are not started in fantasy leagues anyways, but I'm also not going to tell people to sit them just because they're big names.
Michael Fabiano, I'm James Coe. For the guys, that's it for us today. Friday, NFL Fantasy Live returns with must-play fantasy matchups for Sunday. Check us out at 4 p.m. Eastern on NFL Now and 5 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. We'll see you then. Yeah.